The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Kerach. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Gohaz ben Levi, V'dosen v'aviron b'nei Eliyahu v'ein ben Peles b'nei Ruvain. And Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kos, the son of Levi, together with Dosan and Aviram and b'nei Eloi, and Ein ben Peles, who were from Ruvain. V'yakumu lifnei Meisha v'anoshim b'nei Yisrael chamishim b'mosoyim. And they stood up against Meisha, and together with 250 men. Nesia Edo Kri Meir Anshe Shem. They were all from the leaders of the congregation. Kerach himself was not someone who was a no one. He was a very, very prestigious, a very, very important individual. And he was also a powerful person, and also an influential person, and also a great chochem. And together with 250 people, and these 250 people were Nesia Edo. They were the leaders of the congregation. Kriye Meir Anshe Shem, they were people of repute. And they came and gathered up against Meshe and Aaron, and they said to them, Rav lochem ki kola eido kulam kadeshim b'beisecham Hashem, u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. You have so much. The entire eido, the entire congregation was sanctified. They were all at the foot of Har Sinai, of Mount Sinai, and they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the giving of the Torah. U'madu tisnasu al kahal Hashem, so why have you elevated yourselves over the congregation of Hashem? Vayishma Meisha vayipol al ponov. And when Meisha heard this, he fell, bowed and he fell. What took place here? Rashi tells us from the Chazal that Kohos, who was the son of Levi, the grandfather of Kerach, had four sons. One was Amram, the other was Yitzhar, the other was Hevron, and the fourth was Uziel. Amram was the father of Meshe and Aaron. Yitzhar was the father of Kerach. Amram, who was the oldest, so to his two sons went the melucha, the kingship, to Meisha, and to Aaron went the kohuna gedola, that of becoming the high priest. Yitzhar's son, who was the second in line, to his son Kerach did not go any special honors outside of the fact that he was from Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, and he had the honors of the Levim, but no special honors. When it came to choosing the Nosia B'nai Kos, the leader of the group of the Levim that were from Kohos, this was not given to Kerach, but rather this was given to the son of Uziel, the son of the youngest of the four brothers, Elisophan ben Uziel. And this angered Kerach very much, because he said, all right, the fact that Meisha became the king, he was the son of the oldest brother. The fact that Aaron became the Kohen Gadol, he also was the son of the oldest brother. But now when it came to giving out these other honors, who will be the leader of the B'nai Kohos, this should go to the son of the second brother, Yitzhar. Instead, he gave it to the son of the fourth brother. This angered him very much. So he said, I am going to go and challenge his authority. Therefore, we have this parsha. Where did he get the people from? States that he had 250 people with him. So the Torah tells us they were Dothan and Aviram, Bnei Eliov, Ein Ben Peles, Bnei Reuven. They were from the tribe of Reuven. One can ask why did they go up against Moshe Rabbeinu? We can understand Korach, because Korach himself was a Levi, and he was the son of Yitzhar, and he felt that he had better honors coming to him. But the other were Bnei Reuven. What did they have to do with it? So on this Rashi brings, Bishvil Shoha Yeshevet Reuven Shori Bechaniosum Teimono. The tribe of Reuven were neighbors to the camp, to the campsite of where Korach stayed, where he lived, on the south side. Shochin Lekohos And therefore, since they were so close to Korach, Korach had the power of influence over them. And in this, the Chazal tell us, Eil Rosho, Eil Shcheinai. We see how unfortunate the Rosho is, and how unfortunate are his neighbors. Because not only does he lead himself in an evil way, he also has influence over those who are close to him. Similar to this, except in the contrast, the Chazal tell us that Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, who camped Mizroch, they camped on the east side, in the front of the camp, they became Gedele Torah. They became great in Torah. From Yehuda came out great people of Torah and great people of kingship. From Yisachar came out very wise Torah scholars. From Zvulun came out very great supporters of Torah. Why were they Zecher to be so great in Torah? So this is the Chazal tell us. Teiv letzadik, teiv lishkenov. Fortunate is the righteous person, and fortunate are his neighbors. Because there was an outer circle around the Mishkan, and there was an inner circle around the sanctuary. And in the inner circle, in front of the Mishkan, camped Moshe and Aaron on the east side. So therefore, the neighbors who were very close to Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun were Moshe and Aaron. So they fell under their influence. Therefore, they became Gedele Torah. They became very great in Torah. This is a very important lesson for us. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos in Perek Vov of Hilchos Deos, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes Derech Briyosi Shalodem Liyais Nimshach B'Deyaisov V'Maasov Achareyov V'Chaverov. It's the nature of a person to become drawn after the qualities and after the deeds of his circle of friends. He will eventually do what the people that he lives amongst also do. Therefore, it's very important for a person to become friends, to try to create a bond with the tzaddikim, with righteous people. And also to sit near the Chachomim, near the wise all of the time, kidei she'ilme mima'aseim, in order to learn from their deeds. V'yisrachek min ha'areshoy. And he should distance himself from the evil. Ha'holchim b'cheshech, who walk in darkness, kidei she'la'ilme mima'aseim, in order that she shall not learn from their deeds. Hu she'shleima oimar, heilech es Chachomim yechkam. This is what King Solomon said in his wisdom, that those who walk with the wise will become wise. And those who walk with fools will become evil. And this is what David HaMelech started the whole Sefer of Tehillim with. Ashrei ish asher lo halach ba'atzes reshoim. But fortunate is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, ubederech hatoim le'omad, and does not stand where hatoim, where people who transgress mitzvahs stand, ubemeshev leitzim le'yoshov, and who do not sit amongst the meshev leitzim, where you have a circle of scoffers, see, or such people, they do not dwell at all, they do not sit amongst them. Because it will rub off influence, environment is from the greatest, the most powerful elements when it comes to directing a person, when it comes to molding a person. And the Rambam goes into great length at this, that if a person must always try to find himself a good place to stay, and a good place to be, a good place to a good people to create friends with, then the Rambam tells us in Halacha Beis, mitzvus aseh lidovik bechachomim v'talmideihem. It's a positive commandment that one should try to cleave to the wise and to their disciples, kidei lilmid m'masehem, in order to learn from their deeds. This is one of the 613 mitzvahs, as it states, of Beis Hidvak, you shall cleave to them. What does it mean? Excuse me, Beis Hidvak means you shall cleave to him. What does it mean, you shall cleave to him? It's referring to Hashem. Is it possible for a person to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is how the Chachomim, how the Arwais explain this mitzvah. Hadveik b'chachomim v'talmideihem. How do you cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By cleaving to his wise and to his disciples. Therefore, a person should be yishtadled in every possible manner. He should try to create bonds with the wise of the Torah and to those who study the Torah, to those who are righteous. For example, she is a bas Talmud Chochem. He should try to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chochem. V'yasi bita le'Talmud Chochem. He should try to marry his daughter to a Talmud Chochem. V'le'echol ishtei sim Talmidei Chachomim. He should try to be at places where the Talmidei Chachomim eat and drink. V'lasis pakamachi le'Talmud Chochem. He should try to do business with a Talmud Chochem and for a Talmud Chochem. In other words, to create as many bonds as possible. To create as many bonds as possible, as it states in the Dov Kodoy, that you shall cleave to him. If you cleave to the Chachomim, this is considered cleaving to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty. V'chein sivu Chachomim v'omru, and the Chachomim also commanded that you shall sit in the dust of their feet, and you shall drink with thirst their words. Now one would think that here the Rambam is quoting a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Masechet Ovos. One would think that this Mishnah is referring to study, how one should study from the wise. But the Rambam is learning another halacha in this. Not only does this Mishnah come to tell us how one should study in regards to the study itself, but how one studies also has a bearing on how he's being dovek, how he's cleaving to the Talmud Chochem. If he merely goes to a Talmud Chochem to listen to him, but without too much effort, without too much difficulty, without too much hardship, and passively he listens to him. All right, he's listening to words of Torah, but he's not cleaving. See? He's not creating a bond to the Chachomim. And through this, he's not creating a bond to his words. So therefore the Mishnah tells us, having misavik biafer aglehem, that he should go to the extreme of sitting at the dust of their feet. In other words, when he goes to learn Torah from them, this is how he must approach it. V'sheise b'tzome es divreihem, and to drink with thirst their words. It's not sufficient to listen to the Chochem. He must drink each word with great thirst. If he approaches studying Torah in this manner, then he creates a bond with the Chochem. If he doesn't, then there is no bond. It's merely like you come to hear someone else talking, or you go to a lecture. And this is not the approach one can have for Torah. The Gemara cites cases where people almost gave their lives to be able to go to study by certain great Chachomim, where they would walk tremendous distances in order to go study by people. Or they went through great difficulties in life in order to study by certain people. And in Ovis Reb Nosson, it states on this Mishnah, Veshei says, Divrehem Bitzomei, that you shall drink each word. There's actually another girsa. There's another text in the Mishnah which states, Veshei says, Es kol Divrehem Bitzomei, that you shall drink each word with great thirst. So in Ovis Reb Nosson, it states, Zu Reb Akiva. This was Reb Akiva. What was the greatness of Rabbi Akiva? The greatness of Rabbi Akiva was not his intelligence. There have been many, many intelligent people that did not become Rabbi Akiva. The greatness of Rabbi Akiva was not his personality, even though he had a great personality, even though he had a great intelligence, because there were many who had such a personality and did not become Rabbi Akiva. The greatness of Rabbi Akiva was Shohayashese kol divrei habetzomi. That each word of the Chachomim he drank with a tremendous thirst. And this is how he became Rabbi Akiva. There was nothing that could stop him. There was nothing too difficult. No obstacle too great that he was not interested in overcoming to study Torah by the Chachomim. So here we have, either you have a bond with the Chachomim, which is a positive commandment of mitzvah asei ubei sidvak. And this was with Yehuda and Yisochar and Zvulun. They were close to Meshon and Aaron. Or, lehepich, to the contrary, a bond with Rishoyim, with evil people. And that's what the Mishnah tells us in Ovis. Harchek mishochin ro, v'al tishabel rosho, that a person must distance himself from people who are not the right type of people. He shall not make acquaintances or friendships with such type of people. And this is why the Bnei Reuven got involved in this machlekes, which was not even their machlekes. Kerach had a bone of contention because he felt that he was in line for this honor. But where did the Bnei Reuven come in? Yet he dragged them into a machlekes which was not even theirs. Oile rosho, oile shkenai. How unfortunate is the rosho and how unfortunate are his neighbors because of the power of influence. One must never underestimate the great power of environment or the great power of an influence. This is in regards to his own self and regards to his children. Many times we send off our children, sons and daughters, to places which have very, very bad influences. And we feel it won't have an effect. They'll take care of themselves. And then when we see, unfortunately, the tragedy that can come from there, it's too late. This is what the Chazal tell us. So this is a principle that we see in our Sedra. The Sedra continues that Meisha became very upset over this. Rashi tells us, Mipnei HaMachlekes, for two reasons. First of all, because of Machlekes. He saw that his authority was being challenged, and he saw that here was dissension and dispute. And Meisha Rabbeinu knew what the great tragedy of Machlekes is. And secondly, Rashi tells us, this was the fourth time. Shikfaze biyodom sichin revi. This was the fourth time that tragedy was to befall Klal Yisrael. The first time was by the Egel Azov. The first time was by the golden calf. And then he went and he was mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu for their sake. The second time is when they came and they complained that they didn't have any meat to eat. So again he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third time was because of the Maraglim, the spies, and again he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the fourth time, he felt, how many times will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be machaper? Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu atone? And then the Torah continues and tells us that Moshe told Korach and his Edo, his congregation, that they should prepare for themselves each one a machtosei v'yitna aleihem esh v'yosima aleihem keteris. They should prepare for themselves a utensil which was used for the fire and the incense, to bring the sacrifice of the fire and the incense. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose. See, Korach was coming now to challenge the selection of the kohuna. He said, what right did you have to choose Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol? I also want to be a Kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose which ones are the kohanim. And then the Torah tells us, Vaidaber el ha'edo le'mor. Sudono me'al ole anoshim roshoim ha'elo. Ha'ela. Va'al tigu b'chol asher lehem pentisofu b'chol chateson. Everyone should remove themselves from this evil congregation. Va'ye'olu me'al mishkan kerech dosen va'aviram misoviv. V'dosen va'aviram yotzu nitzovim pesach ha'aleyam unishem v'neham v'tapom. So they went away from the place of Korach and Dothan Vaviram, and these people were standing at the heads of their tents together with their wives and their infants. Vayema Meisha Bezeis Teidun Ki Hashem Shalachani La'asis Is Kol HaMasim Ha'ila Ki Lei Melibi. So Meisha said that from this will be proven that whatever I have done, it was not through my own intentions, but it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im kemeis kol odem yemusun eile ufkudas kol odem yipokeda lehem le Hashem shlochoni. If these people will die like everyone dies, then it will be proven that Hashem has not commanded me to do what I have done. Vimbriya yivro Hashem ufotzeso adom espiho. But if there will be a new creation created by Hashem, and the earth will open its mouth, uvolo osom v'eskol asher lehem, and will swallow them and everything that they have, v'yodu chayim she'olah, and they will go down alive to their graves, v'datim ki niyatzu anoshim eiles Hashem. Then you will know that these people have come to challenge the authority of Hashem. V'tivtach ha'oretz espiho, v'tivla osom v'esbotehem. The land opened its mouth and swallowed them up. No, why he kechaleisa ledaber is called advorim ha'ele. So as Moshe was concluding, saying these words, vatiboka adom asher tachtehem, the earth opened up, which was beneath them. Vativtach oretz espio vativla esom mezbotehem, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their houses. Veiskol adom asher lekerach, every man that was together with Korach, veiskol arachush, and all of his property. And they all went down alive to the grave. And the ground covered them up. And they were lost from the congregation. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the rest of them. And then there were others who had taken sides with them. A magefa came. A plague came, and much destruction was caused because of Korach umachlekosai, Korach and his descendants. There were many points in which Korach was a chater, which he sinned. that makes this particular seder so special. We do not have time tonight to go into all of these points in great detail. We'll mention a few. First of all, there was Kino. He was jealous. And as we mentioned, Kerach was a great man, very great man. And he was a man of prestige. He wouldn't have been able to have influence on the other people of Bnei Reuven if he would not have been such a great man. And the other people also were Kriyeido Anshei Shem. They were leaders of the people. And they were people of great reputation. And because of his jealousy, he destroyed himself and his family and the other people. This is what the Mishnah Novice states. HaKovid v'ataiva v'hakino. Meitzin es odem min ha'ilam. When a person seeks too much, or when a person is jealous, this is one of the qualities that can drive a person out of the world, if he's jealous for the wrong things. A second quality is redifus hakovet. He wanted an honor that wasn't due to him. And this also is included in that Mishnah. Hakina v'ataiva v'hakovet. When people want too much honor that's not due to them, it will drive him out of the world. He destroyed himself and his family, all of his property. Incidentally, he was also very, very wealthy. The Gemara tells us that Kerach, in the Medrash, that Kerach was very, very wealthy. Fact is, there's a Medrash that mentions that he, in the desert, he used to have literally hundreds of donkeys just to carry the keys for all of his wealth that was stored in locked trunks. So he was very, very wealthy. Another point was he was Einam Makir Es Mekemei. He did not know his right place. He was a Levi. He was prestigious. He had a place of honor. But he did not realize his right place. He wasn't Someach Bechelke. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. The Mishnah Masechta Ovis tells us that one of the qualities, if a person wants to acquire Torah, is a Makir Es Mekemei. He has to realize his proper place. It takes 48 qualities to acquire greatness in Torah. To acquire greatness in Torah is not merely study. When it comes to other subjects, when it comes to other wisdoms, there basically you need some intelligence, you need some hard work, you have to study. With Torah it's not sufficient. You need 48 qualities in order to acquire greatness in Torah. And this is a Mishnah Masechta Ovis. And one of these qualities is a Makir Es Mekemei. A person must realize his proper place. If he doesn't realize his proper place and he wants someone else's place, then he will not become great in Torah. And we see this was one of Kerach's problems. Actually, Rashi brings from the Medrash Tanhuma that if he was such a wise person, did he think he could stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu and succeed? I mean, if he was so wise, he should have realized what Moshe was. So actually, the Medrash brings that he had a vision. He had a vision where he saw great descendants coming from him. And he did have many great descendants. One great descendant he had was Shmuel Hanovi. And Shmuel was from the greatest, greatest prophets. So he relied on this that he would be successful. So we see from here that a person can't rely too much on visions either. A person has to go kederech haTorah. If the Torah says that this is what he should do, he should do. If the Torah says this is what he should not do, then he should not do. and not rely on visions. If he has dreams or if he has visions, no matter how authentic they might be, this is what the Chazal tell us, that he saw that great descendants were coming from him, which they did. He had great descendants that served in the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they come from? Because the Chazal say that sons of his did tshuva. And he saw someone almost as great as Moshe Rabbeinu coming from him, and that was Shmuel Hanavi. So he said, then it must be that I'll succeed. So he relied on his vision. And we see what happened. A person must go kederach HaTorah, not with visions or other type of exterior powers. If the Torah says this is what the person must do, then he must do it. The Torah says he must not do it, then he must not do it. Another great aveda that Kerach did, now all of these are, as mentioned, these are something that we could should say a shir on each one individually, but we do not have time this evening. But another great aveda that we will just make mention of, and that is, he was a machti asarabi. Not only was he chayter for his own sake, not only did he go up against Moshe Rabbeinu, but he caused others to. The Chazal tell us that he went to others and he kept telling the others, look, Moshe is dishing out the honors to he and his family. He took the kingship for himself. He gave his brother the Kuhuna Gedela, the high priesthood. Are you going to tolerate this? Aren't you going to do something about it? So he went to incite others against Moshe. And this is what is known as a machti asarabim, where you cause others to sin. Many times inadvertently, we might be guilty of such a thing. Because if we give someone the wrong advice, if we tell someone to do something, and he does it, and it's against the Torah, so this is a chayte machti asacherim. You're causing others to do sins. If we do something because we think it's right, and we say, you can do it, it's all right. If you do it, that's one thing. But to cause another to do it, this is worse. Many times from our actions, it's brought many times in halacha, that a person must be very careful of his actions. And the greater the individual, the greater his influence, the greater his carefulness must be. Because others will see him and they will emulate him. They will follow him. And therefore, if what he's doing will mislead other people, this is a machte sarabim. We must be very, very careful when we give advice. It would be like a doctor. Doctor gives advice, medical advice. If it's not the proper medical advice, the consequences can be great. We must realize that even in the sphere of life, a person must be very careful when he gives advice. Many times we're not capable of giving advice. The Chazal tell us in the Mishnah and others that not till a person is 50 years old is he capable of giving advice. To truly advise another person, unless it's something that's very, very explicit. Because it's a great responsibility. What a person does in regards to himself is one thing. But when you mislead others, yet we find all the time when it comes to the circle of life, there everybody thinks he's the professional. When it comes to a question of law, you go to a lawyer. Comes to a question of medicine, you go to a doctor. You go to the professionals. But when it comes to the circle of life, or when it comes to that of Torah, then everybody feels he's the professional. And he can guide others. He can advise others. What should they do? When should they do it? Where should they want? Should they study? Should they not study Torah? Where should they study Torah? By who? And so forth and so forth. A person must be very careful with this. Very careful. unless it's something that he knows for sure, that it's like it's explicit in the Torah. But where it comes to where the person is going to have to make decisions, use his own intelligence to make decisions, this he has to be very, very careful. Why? Because the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Dalet of Hilchos Teshuvah, Arba ve'esrim dvorim mi'akfinas ha'tshuva. There are 24 things that if a person does, it prevents him from doing tshuva, from repenting. Each one for a different reason. Arba mehen oven godel v'aisechen mehen ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyodeh la'aseh tshuva lefi godel chetoy. Four of these 24, the aveira is so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not necessarily give him the opportunity to do tshuva. Now, when we say there are 24 things that prevent tshuva, the Gemara says that ein l'chodove she'emid bifnei tshuva, there is nothing that tshuva cannot overcome. Okay. So this means that if a person does do tshuva, if he repents, it will help on everything. Sometimes he'll have to have additional things also, but it will help on everything. If not in this world, at least in the next world. But some avedas are so difficult that the tshuva is so difficult that it becomes rare that he'll be successful with his tshuva. The first four of these 24, the aveda is so great that it's a very rare opportunity if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him such an opportunity to do the tshuva. What are these four? Hamachti asarabi. Someone who causes a rabbi, someone who causes the congregation to sin, or, for example, a ma'akev, a rabbi malasis mitzvah, prevents the congregation from doing a mitzvah. A second one, hamates chaver miderech tevel lero, or someone who misleads his friend from a good way to a bad way. That's two, these are two. The first two mentioned in the 24. So we see when it comes to causing others to do something wrong, it's a very serious avera. And again, this means not only by actually telling the person to do wrong, but by inciting him, by influencing him. And a halacha it's brought, even by influencing him, through your acts. But a Talmud Chacham must be very careful. Because if a Talmud Chacham does something, other people will try to emulate. And if he's doing something that will cause people to emulate him in a dover or in a bad thing, see, then he's begeder hachetu machtes harabim. Not only he's causing others. So this also was involved here with Kerach. The greatest, however, avera that Terach had here, the Chazal bring us, is that he brought machlekes to Israel. He brought dispute and dissension. And he did this in two ways. We could ask a question here. How was Terach to know that he did wrongly? Kerach felt he was right. So maybe he had the right to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. We said that Kerach himself was a chochem. He was a very wise person. And a very honorable person. And we say he had a vision. So maybe he was right to go up against Moshe Rabbeinu and say, you've taken all the honors for yourself and your family. Why haven't you given it to other members of the congregation? How do we know he was wrong? So this involves the first aspect of Machlekes that Kerach brought to Israel. He was a chelek al Arav. He came to challenge the Rav. Meshe was the leader of the congregation. He was the Rav. He was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And no one has a right to be chelek al Arav. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perekei. He has a whole chapter, but we'll just mention just a few words. Kishem shodim metzuvah b'chaved ovi v'yirosei kachu chai b'chaved rabbi v'yirosei yeser mi ovi. Just like one is commanded to honor and to fear his father and mother, so is he commanded to honor and fear his rabbi. Because his father, but even more so. His father brings him into this world, and his rabbi that teaches him Torah brings him into the next world. Who taught Kerach Torah? Where did Kerach learn Torah from? Where did all Israel learn Torah from? They only learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the one who brought Torah into this world. He's the one who brought Torah to Israel. So Moshe was the rabbi. So what does it mean that Kerach thought Moshe was doing wrongly? What does it mean he thought Moshe was doing wrongly? Who is Kerach to think it's the Torah that gives us the ability to discern right from wrong? Otherwise, where is our ability to discern right from wrong? He thought Moshe was doing wrongly. And if Torah to him came from Moshe Rabbeinu, so who is he to discern what's right and wrong against the rabbi that taught him Torah? That taught him how to discern between right and wrong? This is a chelek al Arab, Rab. The ein lecho kovet godol mi kovet harav, v'leimeire mi meire harav. There is no honor that can compare to the honor one is obligated to give his Rav, and there is no fear that one is obligated to fear his Rav with that can compare to that. Omru chachomim meire rabbeh ki meire shemayim. The sages say that the fear that you have from your rabbi must be like the fear that you have from heaven. Lefichoch omru kol achelek al rabbi kechelek al hashchina. The one who teaches you Torah, if you come to challenge his authority, that's the same as challenging the authority of the Shechina, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam here quotes the Pasuk from our Sedra, Bahatseisim Shenema Bahatseisim Al Hashem. Actually, it's brought a little later, but it refers to Chelek, to Kerach. When Kerach came to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, it states that he came to quarrel with Hashem. Because the one who teaches you Torah, it's through him that you have Shechina, that you understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you're Chelek al Arav, if you dispute with your Rav, then you're disputing with the Shechina. Because the Shechina comes to you through Moshe Rabbeinu. And especially with Moshe Rabbeinu. If this is so by a person who learns by an individual rabbi, so what would be with the Rabbi Shel Kol Yisrael? The one who brought Torah into the world? The one who teaches Torah stands between the man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings the wisdom of the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the person. The one who is chelek with the rabbi, therefore, is being chelek with the Shechina. He's disputing the Shechina. Kol ha'eisim merivim rabbi, ke'eisim merivim ha'shechina. Not only does the one who challenges, but the one who quarrels with his rabbi is as if he's quarreling with the Shechina. Shenemar asher robu b'nei Yisrael as Hashem v'yikodesh bom, because it states here that they went and they quarreled against Hashem. V'chol ha'misrayim al rabbi ki misrayim al Hashem shenemar le'aleinu t'l'naseichem ki al Hashem. And whoever has Kolam Yisrael, whoever criticizes his rabbi is as if he's criticizing Hashem. As it states, Le'aleinu Telunu Seichem Kiel Hashem, Moshe said to the others by Kerach. He says, they're not coming with criticism to us. This said Kerach is inciting everyone. And they're coming to criticize us. This is not criticism against us. This is criticism against Hashem because we're only doing what Hashem told us to do. Bechol amahara acharabai kilu mahara hashkina. And whoever has doubts against his rabbi is as if he has doubts against the Shekhinah. Shenemar v'idabera o'am melekim b'meshe. As it states that they spoke against Hashem and Meshe. So therefore, it was clear cut. This wasn't a question that it was Kerach's opinion against Meshe's opinion. Meshe was the rabbi, there was no doubt about that. Kerach, all of the Torah that Kerach knew and all of Kol Yisrael knew only came through Meshe Rabbeinu. If Meshe was the rabbi, how dare anyone come and challenge the authority of Meshe Rabbeinu from the one that taught Torah to Klal Yisrael that he learned Torah from? How dare anyone come to criticize Meshe Rabbeinu? How dare anyone come to quarrel with Meshe Rabbeinu or to have doubts against him? So it was very clear cut. Therefore, with all of his prestige and with all of his wealth and with all of his influence and with all of his wisdom and with all of his visions, he ended up underground. He with everyone else. This halacha, which we happened right between Kerach and Meshe, the rabbi of Kol Yisrael, this refers to everyone's Rebbe, whoever he learns Torah by. This doesn't refer. Later on, the Rambam brings a chapter where every Talmud Chacham, every wise person, we are obligated to honor. But it's not with the same gravity as a rabbi. See. There's every Talmud Chacham, and then there's a rabbi, one who you learn Torah from. What happens if a person learns Torah by someone, but he doesn't feel that he can honor him in such a manner? He doesn't feel that he can have such respect for that person. Then the Gemara tells us another thing. The Gemara says that he shall not learn Torah by that person. A person should not learn Torah by someone unless in his eyes that person is perfect. Otherwise he has no business studying Torah by him. This is the Gemara tells us in Masechet Chagiga. Im harav deima l'malach Hashem, deirish teira mipiyu. If the rav is to the person where he can see that he's a malach Hashem, he's a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through him he can understand Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he should seek Torah. If he feels, no, this person to me does not represent, for whatever reason it might be, does not represent Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's not supposed to be Deirish Teirah Mipiyu. Then he should not study Torah by him. He would still have to honor the person. If he's a Talmud Chacham and if he's a righteous person, he must honor him. But he is not then allowed to study Torah by him to the point where he becomes his rabbi, and then he would have to honor him in this manner. This is a very important halacha. This was the major aveira of Kerach. He came to challenge his rabbi. And this was the first time in the Torah that we had such a thing. And many of the halachas of someone, of a disciple coming to challenge his rabbi, is learned from here in Parshas Kerach. A second facet of this was that he created machlekes in general. Not only was it a machlekes, a dispute between he and his rabbi, but he created a machlekes in Israel, because he gathered together 250 men, and they all started to talk against Moshe and Aaron, and people took sides. People backed up Moshe and Aaron, and others backed up the others, and there were many. And he created a division in Klal Yisrael, machlekes. So this was the second facet of this. And this is a very, very great Aveira. A very great Aveira. So great that we're not aware of it. Of what it means Machlekes and what it means Shalom. Rashi gives us an inkling. Rashi tells us states that in Pesach Chof Zayin states Vayeolu me'al mishkan keirach dosen v'aviro misoviv. They went away from the sanctuary of Keirach and Dosan and Aviram. And Dosan and Aviram were standing by their tents, Nisheim, Veneim, Betapon, together with their wives and their sons and their infants. Then it states that the earth opened its mouth and swallowed everything that belonged to them, as kol asher lohem. Swallowed everything that belonged to them, and everything went down into the ground. So Rashi brings on Pesach Chof Zayin, Borei kamakosha machlekes. Come and see the great consequences of machlekes, of dispute. Share bez din shilmate inayin shinela ad shiyovi shtei sareis. Our courts, the courts of men, according to the laws of the Torah, can deal out a physical punishment of any type, even a financial punishment of any type, only by someone who has reached the age of physical maturity. That means a boy 13 years old and a girl 12 years old. Bez din shalmalo ad chofshon. The heavenly courts do not deal out any punishment until a person has reached 20 years old. But here we see kan ovdu af yein kishadayim. Here even the infants, tapom means even infants that were still nursing from their mother's breasts, were also lost here. Why? What did they do? We can understand what Keirach did. We can understand what Dosan Vaviram did. We can understand what the 250 people did. We can understand what their wives did, because their wives sided with them. But what about the tapom, the infants? What did they do? They weren't 20. This was a misa b'dei shemayim. This was a punishment dealt out by the heavenly courts. They weren't 20 years old. They weren't even 13 or 12 years old when the Beis Din Shel Matu can give out a punishment. They were yein keshadayim. They were still nursing by their mother's breasts. So we see from here kama kosha hamachlekes, how severe machlekes is. Now, in this aspect, Shlomo HaMelech brings Mishle Yud Beis Posuk Chof. Mirma Belev Chor Sheiro Uli Ya'at Sei Sholoim Simcho. To those who plow evil, there is cunningness in their hearts. But to those who go to give counsel for peace, there is simcha, there is joy. The chor sheiro, those who plow evil, these are the people who seed, who plant machlekes. You have certain people that like machlekes, they like disputes. So they go around creating disputes. There's cunningness in their lave, in their hearts, because they have to go with a great craftiness, a great cunningness. They make a certain remark here and a certain slanted remark here, get an implication here to create dissension. And Shlomo HaMelech here refers it to as Ra. While Uliyoatse Shalom, those who create peace, Simcha, they have joy in their hearts. Now from here we see that Machlekes is called Ra. This is a very important concept. Because not everything is the word ra used for. The word ra is the absolute antithesis to the word tov. And the word tov is a very important word in the Torah. First of all, we see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he kept saying that what he created was good. Vayar ki kol asher oso, he saw what he did was tov. It was good. Tov mi'od. We see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the stamp of approval on the creation, he called it tov. Not only was it a stamp of approval, but it was the justification for the existence of the creation. Because it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the light. He saw it was good. So what did he saw was good? Therefore he let it be. When he made other creations, he saw it was good. Therefore he let it be. Tov, the word Tov, is so absolute, is so positive, that it refers to something which is perfect and something which is a cause for existence. The Gemara tells us about Tov. The Gemara says that Torah was called Tev. The word Tov is used by Torah. Ki lekach Tev nosati lochem. I have given you a good purchase. The Gemara says Yisrael was called Tov. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was called Tev. When Moshe was born, it says they saw the Yelid, he was good. So we see that only the greatest creations, the greatest handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest perfection was called Tov. The absolute antithesis to Tov is Ra. Here Shlema HaMelech, the Chochem Mikol Odom, the wisest of all people, he refers to Machlekes as Ra. Those who see dispute and dissension, Chorshei Ra. They are people of Ra, of evil, of absolute evil. Now the Baral brings that we see this from the Medrash. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Dalet, Os Ches. Loma ein ksi b'sheni kitov. On the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, good. On the third day, it was said, good twice. The second day, kitov was not mentioned. Every day of the creation, Tov was mentioned, but not on the second day. Why on the second day wasn't the word Tov mentioned? One opinion in the Medrash is, because on the second day of creation, Gehenim was created. Gehenim. A second opinion, Shebei Nivra Machlekes, because division was created. What was the division? What was the dispute? The first day he created water, but the water went from the ground all the way into the heaven. The second day HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's create a barrier which will divide the mayim elyonim mimayim tachtonim, the upper waters from the lower waters. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a division, and this division is a machlekes. The word machlekes comes from the word chalukah, to divide. And actually there was a little machlekes also, because the lower waters came with a complaint. It says, why should the upper waters be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to appease the lower waters. This we spoke about once in Parshas Vayikra. But because there was a division on that day, therefore the word tov could not be mentioned. Omer
Uli Yeshuva Ein Bei Kitayv Machlege Shila Vuva Alachas Kama Vakama. Rav Tumi said, now, if this division was for the ultimate perfection of the world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to divide between the upper waters and the lower waters, so then a machlekes that comes as a destructive force, this machlekes was positive, a machlekes that comes as a destructive force, halachas kama v'kama, how much more so that you cannot use the word tov on it? That's the second opinion. There's a third opinion also that we'll mention later if we have time. But what do we see from here? That because there was a division, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not use the word tov. Why? Because division in essence is ra, the absolute contrast to tov. What is the reason for this? This we can explain with a further Gemara. The Gemara in the Sechta Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Sadaf Yudamad Beis." Omar Rav Amnuna Mishmei De Ula Osel Lo Odom Shiitein Lachaveir Shalom BeBeis Amerchatz. As it states, "VaYikra Lei Hashem Shalom." A person is not allowed to extend a Shalom Aleichem to another person in a Beis Amerchatz, in a Bethas, in any unclean place. Why? Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Vayikra Lei Hashem Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. And therefore you're not allowed to mention Hashem's name in places which are not clean. Now the Maral in his Nesiv HaShalom asks, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's banner is Chesmei. Chesmei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. His true, truth. States that the banner of Hashem is truth. Yet we don't find anywhere that you cannot mention the word truth in an unclean place. Yet this is his banner. So why Shalom? So here lies a deep concept. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of Shalom. When it comes to a word like truth, this might describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this is not his essence. But the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the essence of Shalom, of peace. Why? The word Shalom means to make complete. The word Machlekes, the word Shalom comes from the word Shalem, Shlemus, which means complete, complete and perfect. The word Machlekes comes from the word chelik. Chelik means a segment, a section, a faction. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, every creation was a mere segment. For example, he created fire. Fire has qualities of heat. He created water. Water has qualities just to the contrary. He created air. He created the earth. The air has qualities. The earth has opposite qualities. Every creation was a segment, was a faction, a chelek. There is only one being that encompasses all of the qualities of the creation, all of the qualities beyond creation. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise you'll find certain things that has this quality but lacks others. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who unites everything, brings everything together in perfection. He's mashlim hakol. And this is the essence of Shalom. The essence of peace is to take factions or segments or sections and bring them together and make them one and perfect. All of creation is unlimited amount of sections. And the one that brings it all together is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he is the essence of Shalom. Bring Shalom to the world. So, Shalom is not only his name, but it's his essence. Therefore, you're not allowed to mention it in unclean places. That's why the Medrash tells us, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Aleph, Rab Moni d'shoiv Rabbi Shua d'sakdin b'shem Rab Levi, Godl ha-sholem shekol ha-broches v'ha-teves v'nechomei sh'akorish bochu mevin al Yisrael ches min b'sholem. So great is peace that all of the broches and the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to Klal Yisrael all end with the word Shalom. For example, Krishma, the broch of Krishma, Peri Sukkah Shalom, is a broch of Shalom. The broch of Tfilah, Eise Shalom. Birchus Kahanim, Vayosem Lecho Shalom. Then the Medrash goes through all of the korbones. The last sacrifice that's mentioned is the Korban Shlomim. That was a korban that brought peace. The Medrash goes through many, many things. That we always end all brachas with Shalom. The last bracha of Krishma, Peirei Sukkah Shalom. The last bracha of the Tefillah, Eise Shalom. Of the Shemein Esrei. The last bracha of the Birchus Kahanim, V'yosem Lecho Shalom. Because the final power, the ultimate, must be the Shalom to bring everything together. Otherwise, it's all loose segments, all loose sections. And this is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's for this reason that Shabbos is very intertwined with the power of Shalom. We find on Shabbos there's a mitzvah to light candles. Ner Shabbos. And the Gemara says, what's Ner Shabbos? Bring Shalom Bayis. Why on Shabbos are we so interested about Shalom Bayis? I mean, we should be interested in Shalom Bayis all the time. Why in particular on Shabbos? So the Chazal tell us, because Shabbos brings Shalom. Why? Because Shabbos was the conclusion of the creation. Vayechal Elokim bayom ha-shvi'i. Kodesh Baruch Hu concluded the creation not on the sixth day, it states on the seventh day. Bo Shabbos, bo Menucha. When Shabbos came, Menucha came. Menucha means it stopped. Things stop only when they become complete. Shabbos was the completion of the world. So Shabbos was the power that was Mechaber, that brought together all of the individual powers, all of the loose ends into one. It's like a painter that's painting, and then he winds it all up. This was the power of Shabbos. Therefore, on Shabbos, we're concerned specifically with Shalom. Therefore, there's a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos because of Shalom Bayis. The Chazal tell us that an Isha, a woman in particular, brings Shalom, brings peace. Why? Because she perfects and completes the man. When the man was created, he was not created complete. It says, "Kol mi shador b'la'isha, edmon m'sholim." Whoever lives without a woman is not married. Without a wife, he's not complete. He's lacking. With his wife, then comes perfection to him, to both. States that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called both of them, Zohar and Nekeva, Korom Odom. He called them Odom together. So therefore the power of the Hashlama, the power of bringing completion, that was with the woman. Therefore it states, and when there's completion, when there's perfection, there's Simcha. That's why in Shlema Melech's Posuk, he called those who go to see dispute, that's Chosheira. Those are the ones who are bringing evil. those who come to seed peace, in their hearts are simcha. Therefore the Gemara says that whoever lives without a wife is without simcha. This is also why the Shabbos is referred to as the Shabbos Kala, as the bride, because just as a bride comes to perfect and bring totality to her husband, Shabbos came to perfect and bring totality and to unite the world. Our time is running late. There's much that can be said on this. Let me just quote one or two more statements from the Chazal. The Chazal tell us, this is also very important, also in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, which we quoted before, Reblezu b'neisha Reblezu akof eimer, Sha'afilu Yisrael evde avar zora. Even if Yisrael were idolaters, v'sholom b'neihem, but there is peace between them, kaviyochol omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein sotn negia b'neihem. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the sotn will have no power over them. Avo mishenech l'ko, but once there's division between them, then it states Atoye Shomu, the Satan will have power over them. Therefore, Godel Hashol. Even if Klal Yisrael would be idolaters, but if there would be peace between them, the Medrash says that the Satan wouldn't have a power over them. Once they start to become divided, then the Satan has a power. This we see historically, because the Gemara tells us that the Golus that we're in now and the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash came only because Klal Yisrael became divided with Sinas Chidim and Loshon Hara, where they started to fight amongst each other. And why is this? Concisely, because the Satan cannot have a power over something that's perfect. He can only have a power when something is segmentized, when something is divided. Therefore, as long as there's unity, he cannot get in. When it starts to break, then he's there. The Gemara in Masechet Tainis, very interesting Gemara, and Chov Beis Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Reb Breika Chazor, he was in a certain marketplace, and Havishchiach Eliyahu Gabei. He was a very, very great sage, and on occasion he would meet Eliyahu. So he met Eliyahu Hanovi. This was Eliyahu Hanovi. He met Eliyahu Hanovi, the prophet, in the shuk, in the marketplace. Omalei ikabai shuka bar almadosi. He said, in this marketplace, do you see anyone who will have a portion in the world to come? Omalei lei. He said, no. Adohi vahochi chozalahu gavro. Then all of a sudden a person came. And Eliyahu said, oh, that person will have a portion in the world to come. So the Gemara goes into this particular person. Then the Gemara comes along and says, Arochi v'ochi, while they were talking, Osu Hanach Trei, Achi, two brothers came into the marketplace. Omale, so Eliyahu said, Hanoch nami b'nei almadosi minu. These two also have a portion in the world to come. So Ozel Gabayu, so the sage went to the two brothers. He wanted to know why, what were they doing that made them so great? Omalu mai uvdaicho. What is your work? What do you do? Omru lei inshe baduchi anon. Mibatchina natsive. Two things we do. First of all, we're baduchi anon. Baduchi, a batkin means someone who's like a comedian. They were like actors, comedians. When we see someone who is very sad, we go over to him and we start making jokes with him to make him happy. He says, that's one thing we do. See? B'mili debidichusa b'nayo. A second thing we do, ki chazinim beitrei disley tigra b'adayo, tarchinim ra'abdin alu shalma. When we see two people who are fighting, who have feribel with each other, so then we go also, and we start to make each one happy until we bring peace between them. Now Eliyahu was in this marketplace, and in the whole marketplace he couldn't find anyone that would be from the Bnei Elam Habo, would have a portion in the world to come, except these two. Because what did they do? They used to spend their time making sad people happy and bringing peace between two people. From here we see, contrary, very contrary to what's popular opinion, we see sonui, like the Chazal tell us, sonui hamachlekes, and godel hasholem. How great is sholem? Well, that's at the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And how despicable is machlekes? When from our seder we see the downfall of Kerach and his whole family and even the infants was machlekes. And machlekes, it says, even if there's machlekes between Klal Yisrael, then the Sotan is there. This requires a lot of thinking on our part and effort. How many times machlekes is caused for simple reasons that we might think are justified. But at the same time we see that here we're speaking of the greatest causes or reasons in the world before it could be justified. Whether it's machlekes between people, whether it's machlekes in community, or whether it's shalom bayis. Today we have what has become tremendously common, breakup of homes. And wherever there's a breakup of homes, there's usually great, great tragedy. The Gemara says, Kosha Gerush, tremendous tragedy between those involved and between the children. There are times when it's necessary. The Gemara says that if a person has a wife that's evil, or vice versa, a husband that's evil, then it's necessary. Then it's a very good remedy. But today in our generations, that you see good people, fine people, but merely for various reasons given, the home is destroyed. This is a churban. This is a destruction. There was an old man who came here one evening. He was from the city of Dvinsk. Dvinsk was a famous city in Latvia because it had two very great rabbonim, the Ragachover and the Remeya Simcha, the Or Simcha. I never quite understood how it worked in the city. Was there two separate kehillas, two separate congregations, where each was a rov of a separate kehilla? Or was there one congregation and one was the chief rov and the other one was another rov? I never quite understood. So I was talking to him, I was asking him, how did it work? And he said, I couldn't get a straight answer from him. So I kept asking him. He didn't seem to quite understand what I wanted. So I figured I'll ask him, who wrote the Gittin? Usually it was the Mori, the Asr, the chief Rav, the head of the Bezdin, was the one who wrote the Gittin, the divorces. So I asked him, who wrote the Gittin? He said, what Gittin? I never remember a Gittin in Vinsk. I never remember a divorce being written. He says, you think it was like now? He says, who wrote Gittin? It was a rare occasion. This was a tragedy. But today, it becomes commonplace. This teaches us what we learn here, and we've only scratched the surface. How much effort must be put in by all parties concerned? How much effort or how much sacrifice? We once quoted that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that even a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, can be overridden for the sake of shalom, for the sake of peace, in order that there shouldn't be ketotim. Because the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that if a man dies and he leaves no children, so his wife now is obligated to marry his brother, the Din of Yovam. There's an alternative of Chalitza, where he can break this commitment with a Chalitza, a type of divorce. The Gemara says that Chalitza b'mokom yibum la mitzvihi. The mitzvah is yibum, to marry her. Chalitza doesn't take the place of that mitzvah. Still it states that if she is very young and he is very old, or if she is very old and he's very young, the sages, the rabbonim, were obligated to advise him to give chalitza. Aye, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum. So from there is the source. They tell him why bring ketotah bebeisai, and rather than to create strife, it's better not to fulfill a positive mitzvah. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Yet many times, at the drop of a hat, people are ready to fight. They're ready to create strife. You see how much effort one is obligated to put forth in this. How much priority. Because it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that after he created everything, after he created shalom, then he created everything. Once there was shalom, then there was everything. When there's not shalom, then there's nothing. I'll just conclude with the Rambam. It's a very, 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 very important Rambam, which he writes right at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is very, very important, because it declares the great miracle which took place on Hanukkah. And therefore, even someone who has no money is obligated to go borrow money or to go beg for money in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Then he writes, what would happen if he had only enough money to buy one candle? And it was Chanukah and it was Shabbos. Should he use that candle for Chanukah licht, or should he use that candle for Shabbos licht? Or near Beis Mikdash Hayom, he had enough money only to buy either a candle or some wine. Should he buy wine for Kiddush, or should he buy the candle for Shabbos? Near Beis Hakedem, the candle of the house for Shabbos comes first. Mishum Shalom Beisai. In order to bring peace into one's house. Shaharei Hashem nimchak la'asei sholem bein ish li'ishtoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his name to become erased to bring peace between man and his wife. This is by the Seder when there's a problem, a suspicion of adultery. So her innocence can be proved through the waters which Hashem erases his name in it. So he allowed his own name to be eradicated in order to bring peace between man and his wife. Godel ha-shalom, so great is peace, shekol ha-teira nitna la'asei shalom ba'elam. So great is peace that the whole Torah was given only for the purpose to bring peace into the world. Shnemar, as it states, rochehu darchei ne'am v'chol nesivoseho shalom. As it states that her ways are ways of pleasantness and all of her paths are shalom. So therefore the Rambam says the Shabbos candles must take priority, because peace must always take priority. From here we have some very great principles. We should be zeche to put them into practice.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.